Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
To lead us into the presence of the Lord lately. I don't know about you, but anybody notice just a little bit of a difference in the services this year so far? Man, the Lord has been really just blowing the doors off of this place. And just about every service, man, the Lord has been showing up and people have been set free. I've gotten so many testimonies. Man, people come up to me and I'm not even expecting it, just out of the blue, and they start sharing testimonies of what God has done for them already in 2018. I don't know about you, but I'm believing the words that Tim Hines spoke, the words that Pastor Ronnie spoke, that 2018 is going to be a year of change, amen? And anything that you were struggling with in 2017, you're going to turn a corner, amen? God is doing something new in 2018. I believe that. I believe that 2018, for a lot of you, is going to be a new year, genuinely a new year, not just a New Year's resolution, amen? New Year's resolutions last till about the mid-January, January 15th, right? I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. I'm talking about a new year, a change in your life, a change in your focus, a change in your mindset, a change in your atmosphere, a change in your home life, amen? A change in your relationships, a change in your bank account. I'm talking about a new year. Amen? Amen? It's pretty quiet in this Presbyterian church tonight. I'm talking about God rocking your world, and y'all are just, Y'all all right. I know everybody at home is shouting. Everybody on Facebook is making up for y'all tonight. That's what I'm thinking. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn with me to the book of Judges tonight? We're going to be in chapter 14, and we're going to talk a little bit about the life of Samson tonight. This was a word that I've been working on for about a week, several days, and the word was originally going to go a certain direction until, how many of you know, God sometimes will turn you on a dime? Well, I was going in a certain direction with Samson because we like to bash on Samson, don't we? We like to talk about Samson's mistakes and Samson's decisions and Samson moving in the flesh and Samson just messing up. Right, we like to bash on Samson. It's fun for Christians to bash on Samson. Amen. We like to do that. So I initially titled this message, Three Easy Steps to Ruin Your Life. And I was going to talk about Samson's mistakes. But then as I was carefully rereading the scripture that I chose to start off with for tonight, three little words in that scripture just turned me on a dime. And I'm sure that I've read it before. I'm sure that it's always been there, right? I mean, the Bible hasn't changed. I'm sure that it's always been there. But for some reason, has anybody ever skipped over things and just haven't really grasped what it said until there was a time when the Holy Spirit said, okay, now this is for you. Now you receive this portion. Now you get this. And then all of a sudden, it's like highlighted in your word, but you didn't highlight it, right? Well, that was kind of for me tonight. Judges chapter 14, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. It says, now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren? Or among all the people that you must go and get a wife from the other side of the tracks? That you must go and get a wife from the people that we hate? That you must go and get a wife from somebody that doesn't look or act like us? Is there not a woman amongst Israel that you would rather have than this uncircumcised daughter of a Philistine? Not that she was circumcised, but daughter of an uncircumcised people? Amen. I better skip to the scripture. That you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines. That's how it was said. And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Right? I added that part. That's not in the word. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, the second part of that scripture is where I skipped over in the past, and I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to that. So I was talking about Samson's bad choices, Samson's bad decisions in women. You know, Samson chose the worst women. I was thinking about all of these things, and I skipped over those lines, but his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord. That it was of the Lord. Now that stopped me in my tracks. Because if I'm going to preach about Samson's bad mistakes, I can't very well do that if one of his mistakes was of the Lord. Could I? Let's pray, and then I'll give you my title for tonight. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to get up and fill this pulpit tonight. I pray over your people, Lord, tonight, that they would receive what you have for them. I pray, Father, that you would utilize me as a vessel, which is all I am. I'm just a vessel to get up here, Lord, to pour out what you've put in me. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint the words, Lord, to go forth, that you would anoint people's hearts to receive what they need to receive, to apply to their life what they need to apply, to get the revelation that they need to get. Father, I pray for deliverance, where there needs to be deliverance tonight. I pray where chains need to break, that they would be broken tonight. I pray, Father, where there needs to be a new understanding, that understanding would come tonight. I pray, Father, where there needs to be a healing in heart and emotions, that healing would come tonight. And, Father, I just pray most of all that you have your way and that your will be done in this service in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So the title of this message tonight is called The Relationship Between Your Strengths and Your Struggles. The Relationship Between Your Strength and Your Struggles. See, when it said that Samson's mom and dad didn't know that it was of the Lord, that opened up a whole new world of possibilities for me. Because there's a many times that we find ourselves in situations, and it sure doesn't seem like it should be of the Lord. It sure doesn't seem like there's any possible way that God could have led us into this situation. It sure doesn't seem like there's any possible way that the predicament that we now find ourselves in could possibly in any way in the world, in any shape or form, be God's will for our life. And I don't know about you, but there's been times that I've prayed and prayed for God to move in a situation, and then I felt the release to go ahead and make the decision that I thought God had called me to make, and then in the middle of that decision, all hell broke loose in my life. And I thought, wow, I really missed God on this one, right? I really missed God on this one. And that's the kind of thought that I was thinking as I was reading this passage of Scripture throughout the day today and yesterday, that they didn't know that it was of the Lord. See, it doesn't make sense sometimes that what you're dealing with could possibly be the will of God. We believe that if it's the will of God, then it's supposed to be easy. If it's the will of God, then it's supposed to succeed. If it's the will of God, then it's supposed to work out. How in the world could a situation that ends up as a failure be the will of God? And yet we read in his holy scripture in the book of Judges for the life of Samson that he chose a wife that was the will of God. It ended up being a failure and resulted in death and carnage, and yet it was still the will of God. How in the world could that be? Samson marries a woman out of the will of his parents, out of the norm of society, out of the norm of his religion, out of the norm of his people, who didn't even worship his God. And yet the Bible says it was the will of the Lord. God had bigger plans. God had bigger ideas. How many of you know sometimes when we're facing situations, we see small glimpses of the situation that we're in the middle of, and we think, how in the world could this be the will of God? And then a few days, a few hours, maybe a few weeks, a few months, maybe a couple of years down the road, all of a sudden you see the big picture and you see God's hand in it. Amen. Samson's wife took the side of her family and her people over Samson. She tricked him. She and her family tricked him, made him look like a fool in front of the Philistine people. And yet it was the will of God. Samson and Israel were at war with the Philistines. The Philistines had their thumb on Israel. The Philistines were treating Israel like they were dogs, like they were a step stool. They had their thumb upon them. They had dominion, the word says, over Israel. And Samson marries the people that he's at war with. Samson marries into the people that are holding dominion over his people. And yet it was the will of God. Samson wasn't like most biblical heroes. I think we can all agree on that tonight. Samson was unlike pretty much every other biblical hero. Samson's anointing and Samson's calling wasn't to sit in the chapel all day. It wasn't to sit in the church all day. He wasn't called to be a prophet and roam the streets and just tell what God was speaking into his heart. He wasn't called to be a prophet to walk the streets and call his people into repentance. Samson had a particular calling on his life, and his calling was not to be meek. His calling was not to be concerned with the thoughts of ordinary people. His calling wasn't to be concerned with what people thought about him. His calling was to walk in the will of God wherever that led him. Amen? I wonder about how many people sitting in here today that your calling might not be to be a preacher. Your calling might not be to be a prophet. Your calling might not need be to be a teacher. But God is calling you to fight. God is calling you to be a warrior, to go against the enemy on his behalf. And that means in order to be a warrior, you can't be meek, you can't be mild, but you have to stand up and be able to shout out with a loud voice, that you have to be able to stand at the face of adversity and come out the other side. Amen? I wonder how many people in here tonight that God's called to be warriors on his behalf. Now, surely not everybody. Surely not everybody, could it? But I'm sure that there's some people in here that God has called to be warriors on his behalf. And you sit and you wonder, what's my calling? What's my design? What am I supposed to be doing? What's the will of God for my life? And God may be calling you to be a warrior. Amen? So tonight, using the story of Samson, I want to talk about three properties of the beneficial relationship between your strengths and your struggles. Number one tonight is this: your biggest hurts propel you to succeed in your biggest battles. I'm going to say that again because a lot of people don't get that tonight. Your biggest hurts propel you to succeed in your biggest battles. Samson was in love with this Philistinian woman. Samson was head over heels for this Philistinian woman. It actually sounded more like lust. Samson was in lust with this Philistinian woman. He had to have her at all costs. But you see, Samson was the kind of man, and he may be like some of you, that Samson, when he loved, he was all in. When Samson loved, he gave his whole heart. When Samson gave his whole heart, he also gave his whole mind. When Samson loved, he told everything that he had, right? Any beautiful woman could bring it out of Samson what they needed to know. Because when Samson was in love with a woman, he talked. Amen? And we see that time and time again. So I want to venture to say tonight, and how many of you are familiar with the story of Samson, right? I would venture to say most of us are. If we read the story of Samson, we think that his weakness is in the cutting of his hair. We think that the weakness is in the cutting of his hair. But truth is, Samson's weakness is women. Samson's weakness was women because of women, he found himself in situations where he had to fight for his life. He found himself in situations where he had to fight or flight. And I would propose to you tonight that God knew that Samson's weakness was women, and God utilized that weakness to further the good of Israel. God capitalized on that weakness to further his kingdom. Amen? Now, you're probably wondering, where in the world am I going to go with this tonight? And how in the world could God use my secret weakness that I have? Because I haven't told anybody about it. What's my secret weakness? And how in the world could God ever use that to propel forth the kingdom? Well, that's between you and the Holy Spirit, and maybe he'll enlighten that to you as we talk tonight. So God knew what was going to happen to Samson, and he allowed it in order to fuel his fury against the Philistines to bring down their dominion over his people. So Samson was made out to be a fool by this woman. He was made to look like a fool in front of these Philistinian people. So you know what he did? He went and killed 30 Philistines to pay the debt that he owed because of what she did to him. And then because he killed the 30 Philistines, they came and they came against Samson. And when they came against Samson, it says that he was thigh and waist deep in Philistines that he killed. He was thigh and waist deep in the Philistines. They were that deep. He had killed that many of them. And then because he had done that, They came against him again, and he found foxes and tied foxes together and put torches in between the foxes' tails. Now, I don't know what kind of man could do that, amen? I don't know what kind of man could catch two foxes and tie their tails together and put a torch in, you know, much less two, but it says like 100, I think. He tied 100 foxes together and cast them out into the Philistines, into their villages, and it burned down all their crops. So the Philistines came against and wondered who did it, and they said it was Samson. And he came against Samson's father-in-law and against Samson's wife, and he burned their house, including them, to the ground. So then Samson goes on a rage with the jawbone of a donkey and kills 1,000 Philistines. God used a weakness in Samson to partially deliver Israel from the thumb of the Philistines. What could God use in your life? What is your weakness that God could use in you to bring a fury up within you? Because it was because of Samson's hurt that raised the fury. I wonder what kind of hurts have happened in your life that God may have allowed to happen so that he could raise up a fury within you to go against the camp of the enemy. Now, we don't have physical enemies today like we had in the Old Testament. We don't have physical enemies that we're going to go slaughter, but we have spiritual enemies that come against us. We have chains and bondages, and we have people that walk into church each and every week, and they're bound by chains. I wonder who in here in this room tonight that God would use to raise up because of your weaknesses, to create a fury because of your hurt, to help deliver people from chains and bondages in their lives. Amen. See, God used Samson's struggle to create situations that fueled his passion to defeat his enemies. God used Samson's struggles to create situations that fueled his passion to defeat his enemies. I wonder how many of us tonight need to look at our struggles a little differently. I wonder how many of us tonight need to look at our weaknesses just a little differently. And maybe tonight we need to make a decision to submit our own weaknesses, to submit our own struggles to God and say, God, you see the weaknesses that are in me. You see the struggles that I have. I submit them to you for use in the kingdom, and then see what God will do through you and in your life. Amen? See, this is something that's kind of funny, but Israel had the strength and the power to fight and defeat the Philistines because God was on their side. What they didn't have was a will to fight. They had the strength. They had the power. It talks about in the book of Judges chapter 14 that they had 3,000 men came to arrest their own man, Samson, to take him to the Philistines, lest the Philistines didn't attack them. So they had numbers. They had strength. They had God on their side. But they were missing the willingness to fight. They were missing the willingness to fight. So God said he needed somebody with a will to fight. He sent an angel to visit Samson's parents, and he used a woman with a barren womb to get pregnant and give birth to Samson. Isn't it amazing that God does that time and time again throughout the Bible? He used a barren womb to give birth to a warrior that he was going to use to help fight the Philistines on behalf of his people. So he visited them with an angel. He opened up her womb. She gave forth to Samson, and Samson grew up, and God used him mightily against the Philistine people. Why would God allow us to get ourselves in trouble just to turn around and use the situation? This is something I've never heard preached, by the way. So maybe you've never heard this preached either. But why would God allow us to walk into trouble? Why would God, if we are his children, allow us to walk into situations where we're going to get hurt? Why would God allow us to do that only to use that situation for the kingdom's benefit? Why in the world would that happen? And I propose this, because God knows your weaknesses. He knows you're going to get yourself in that trouble anyway. And when you do, he might as well use it for the good of the kingdom. Amen. Because if God didn't use that situation, it would go to waste. But because God knows your weaknesses, he knows you're going to walk into that situation anyway, because God is in your future, he's in your past, as well as he's in your present. He knows exactly where you're going to be tomorrow. He knows where exactly you're going to be a week from now. He knows your weaknesses. He knows you're going to walk into that situation. So why not use it to turn it around for the glory of God? Amen? Why not do that? Point number two tonight is this. The source of your greatest strength comes from your greatest struggle. The source of your greatest strength comes from your greatest struggle. Samson's greatest struggle kept getting him in the greatest battles. And because he was in the greatest battles, God had to give him the greatest strength to succeed in those battles. Now, the word says that they looked upon Samson and wondered where his strength came from. They looked upon Samson and wondered, how did this dude get so strong? How can he do the things that he's doing, right? Now, if I had Arnold Schwarzenegger up here, and I'm not talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger present. I'm talking about maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger at 37, not at 67, right? But if I had Arnold Schwarzenegger up here and he lifted the front of a car, would you look at him and wonder how in the world, where did that strength to lift that car came from? No, because we'd be too busy being impressed with his biceps, impressed with his abs, impressed with his chest, impressed with the girth of his, and impressed with his visible strength, right? We wouldn't have to wonder where that strength come from in order for him to lift that amount of weight, right? We wouldn't have to wonder that. But yet the word says that the Philistines constantly wondered where Samson got his strength. I would venture to say tonight that the movies have probably gotten it all wrong, that have shown Samson as this massive beast of a man, that showed him as with arms this big and strength, and he looked like Conan the Barbarian. I would venture to say that Samson didn't look like that at all, because if he did, the Philistines would probably look at him and say the strength comes from him, comes from his muscles. So what if he looked like just a normal dude like me? And he walked in and maybe he had a little bit of a gut. And he didn't have any abs. You ain't got to laugh that hard. I'm working on it, man. I've had a gym membership for a couple months and I have intended every day to go, but I haven't gone yet. So I'm working on it. But what if he just looked like a normal man? What if he performed these great feats of strength and he just looked like a normal dude? What if you saw Arnold Schwarzenegger squat like, I don't know, what, 1,500 pounds or something crazy, and then I got up and went, oh, yeah, that's good, man, let me try. And then just, right? What if it looked like that to the Philistines? And the Philistines looked upon a normal man with a normal body and said, where in the world does his strength come from? Where in the world? Why is he so strong? They couldn't look at him from the outside and tell that he was a strong man. Now, I wonder how many people sitting in here tonight that you may not look like you're strong. You may not look like you can do battle. You may look weak and frail on the outside, but on the inside, you're a warrior. On the inside, you rise up to do battle. On the inside, you take out demons every day. On the inside, you step on the heads of devils every day. When you get up in the morning, as the word said, the devil was scared when you put your feet on the ground and you got out of bed, right? What if you were years old? I was going to say 39. 76. She ain't scared. What if you're 76 years old and you don't look like you can bench press a Cadillac? But on the inside. Maybe she moves slow on the outside. And she don't move that slow. But maybe she moves a little slow on the outside. But on the inside, she's running marathons. On the inside, she's taking out demons. On the inside, she's taking out devils. On the inside, she's breaking chains. When people step up to this altar and she lays hands on them, chains fall. And people look at her and they say, where did she get her strength from? I'm going to tell you today that there's people sitting in this church right now that you have the abilities that you haven't tapped into. You have strengths that you haven't tapped into. You have abilities within you that are God-given that you haven't even tried to use yet. And I'm going to tell you today that when you step up, when you decide to serve in the church, when you decide to serve the kingdom of God, people will look at you and go, I wonder where they got their strength from. Amen. I wonder where that strength came from. You may not look wealthy. Your accountant might laugh when you turn in your numbers for the year. Your accountant might get stressed out when you turn in your numbers for the year. On paper, maybe you look like you're supposed to be bankrupt. You don't look on paper like you're a child of the King. You don't may not look on paper, and your accountant may not be able to see in the numbers that you're a child of the Most High King. But for some odd reason, every time you have a bill, every time you have a need, something shows up. Every time you have a need, God writes a check. Every time you have a need, the bill gets paid. Amen? You may not look wealthy, but you are wealthy. You may look weak, but you are strong. Can I speak that to you tonight? That you might just be sitting in these chairs thinking that you're weak, thinking that you're poor, thinking that you don't have the abilities to do any little old thing for the kingdom. But inside of you is a giant. Inside of you is a warrior. Inside of you, you have weapons that you don't even know. Inside of you, you have weapons that you haven't even touched yet. And God says, I have raised you up to be a warrior in my kingdom. I have raised you up to bring people to know Christ. I have raised you up to pray over people and demons flee. I have raised you up to pray over people and chains break, but you're too busy not having the willingness to fight. So Israel just sat in the pews and they didn't have a willingness to fight. And they were okay that the devil had his thumb on them. They were okay with having to go to the altar every week with the same old prayer request. They were okay with facing the same old battle each and every day because such is life and it's just what we're dealing with. And God says, I'm looking for a fighter. I'm looking for a warrior. I'm looking for somebody who's willing to take a stand. I'm looking for somebody who will say, you know what? I'm going to saunter into Philistine territory today. You know what? I'm going to go up in the Philistines and get me a wife. Maybe he's looking for somebody that's bold. You see, people, and me included, sometimes don't like bold people. Because bold people can intimidate you. And bold people can scare you a little bit. And bold people set you back for a minute. Like, who do they think they are? You know? But can I tell you that God's looking for bold people? And if you're sitting in these pews and you have a boldness that you've been pushing down inside of you, can I tell you that there's a job for you? Can I tell you that there's a place for you? Not only in this church, but every church across America. Can I tell you that there's something that God has for you to do? And all that he's waiting for is for you to stand up and say, I'm willing. I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to get this thumb off my head. I'm willing to walk in financial freedom. I'm willing to walk in relational freedom. I'm willing to walk in a supernatural marriage beyond my dreams. I'm willing to walk as a mother and father, as a parent that I've never dreamed that I could be. I'm willing to step into whatever you have for me, God. I'm willing to move into a future that you created and you ordained, and it's your will for me to step into. But first, I have to walk through the fight, and I have to realize that every time I've been hurt, every time that I've been in pain, that it wasn't necessarily for my detriment, but it was to build me up so that the fury and the strength would rise up into me, and I would say, devil, devil no more. Devil, you can't put your hands on me anymore. Devil, I'm a child of the Most High King. Devil, you won't touch my marriage. Devil, you won't touch my kids. Devil, you won't touch my checkbook. Devil, you're not going to have a hand in my finances. Devil, you won't be on my job. Devil, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to begin to stomp it out until things change. Devil, I'm going to begin to move, and I might look weak and frail on the outside, and I might look poor on the outside, and I might look pitiful on the outside, but on the inside, I'm a warrior. On the inside, I'm like one of David's 30 men. On the inside, I'm like one of David's 3 that would kill a leopard in a pit on a snowy day, because that's who God's ordained me to be. That's who God's created me to be. And I'm tired of laying down. I'm tired of just taking it. I'm tired of taking the blows to my head. I'm tired of taking the kicks to my body. I'm tired of it. And I'm ready to rise up. I'm ready to stand up. God, may your spirit come upon me. Say it with me. God, may your spirit come upon me. God, give me the power and the strength to defeat my enemy. God, give me the power and the strength to defeat all that stands against me, all that opposes me. God, give me the power that I need to walk in the freedom that you've designed me to walk in. Hallelujah. I wonder how many people in here tonight have walked through situations in your life, and right now you're out the other side of it. But before you walked through it, you said, I could never deal with that. I could never make it through something like that. I could never. If that happened to me, you might as well just shoot me because I'm done. There's no way, possible way, that I could walk through that situation. And now, not only have you walked through it, and you didn't die, but you're thriving. Hallelujah. I wonder how many people are in here tonight that are thriving when you thought something should have killed you. They're in your right mind when you should have been drawn nuts. That are still driving a car that you thought should have been repoed years ago. That are still in a house that you should have lost 3 years ago. I wonder how many people in here tonight. See, the Lord is Samson's strength in the story. Samson's a weak man. Samson's like any other man. But the Lord is his strength. And there's keys all through Scripture. Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Psalms 37:39 says, the Lord is our strength in times of trouble. Habakkuk 3:19, the prophet said, the Lord is my strength. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the source of my strength. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. Anybody said that lately? I tell you, the Bible's kind of crazy. For Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. I like being weak. Right? I like it. I like insults. I like hardships. I like difficulties. For when I'm weak, I'm strong. Amen. That's crazy, isn't it? I like all this stuff. Because in my weakness, it reveals his strength. We don't need to be strong for ourselves. We need the Spirit of the Lord upon us to be strong for us. There's a very deep theological song. It was quite an old hymn, but it kind of went like this. Little ones to him belong. He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. We learned that when we were like 2. And one of the lines in that song, I am weak, but he is strong. Amen. Point number 3 tonight. Every fierce battle you fight comes with rewards from God.
Yes.
You believe that? See, if you don't believe that, then you lay down and you stop fighting. If you don't believe that, you walk away and quit. If you don't believe that, you don't fight to begin with. But if you believe this, then you stand up and you're willing to fight. Every fierce battle you fight comes with rewards from God. Judges 14, we're going to go down to verse 5. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Samson was a young man facing off with a young lion. Samson came upon this lion, and Samson did not yet know his strength. Samson did not yet know his capabilities. All Samson knew was that he was full of it, man. He knew that he was cocky. That's basically what Samson was at this point. He went marching up into the Philistine to get him a woman. He was cocky. He hadn't fought a battle yet. He hadn't fought a battle yet. The first portion of the scripture tells the gravity of the situation. To his surprise. To his surprise, a young lion came roaring at him. He was caught off guard. How many men on this planet from day one were caught off guard by a lion and survived? Even today, with weapons, even today with automatic guns in their hand, if they're caught off guard by a lion, they're probably going to die. See, I could see getting ready for a lion. I could see developing a strategy for a lion. But being caught off guard for a lion, that's usually the death of a man. See, Samson should have died that day. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I wonder how many people in here today has been caught off guard by the enemy as he roars around and prances around like a lion. I wonder how many people in here today have walked along in their life and all of a sudden a lion caught you by surprise. All of a sudden a situation caught you by surprise. All of a sudden an illness caught you by surprise. All of a sudden a storm roared into your life by surprise. And maybe you just laid down and took it. Maybe you just laid down and took it, but that's not what Samson did. The Spirit of the Lord came on Samson and he fought that lion. He ripped it apart like it was a small goat. It's not just God's will that we enter into these situations from time to time. Because how many believe that God set Samson up? See, if Samson was going to marry this woman, he was going to have to fight. God knew the battles that were ahead in Samson's life. God had to show Samson how strong he was so he wasn't afraid to fight those battles. So sometimes God will allow a lion to suddenly surprise you in your life so that you'll stand up and fight and realize how strong you are for future battles that are to come. But if you lay down and you allow them to win in the very first battle, then you never have the opportunity to see where God is taking you. You never have the opportunity to see where God is going to use you down the line because you laid down and died in the first battle. The good news is, I'm talking metaphorically, and you can get back up. So if you laid down and quit when that storm hit, you can get back up tonight. You can ask God for the Spirit of the Lord to come on you. You can ask God, hey, God, I'm going to be ready the next time. The next time I get led into a situation, I'm going to fight. I have willingness. I'm going to swing. I'm going to punch. I'm going to kick it like a tied up goat. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make it through this situation. Amen? The second part of the scripture says he had nothing in his hand. So you can be caught off guard and surprised and have absolutely no weapons in your hand and you can still win with God. You can have nothing in your hand and you can still win with God. So he was surprised and he had nothing to fight. As I was thinking about this today, I'm not like Pastor Ronnie. I haven't been in 28 million fights. But I did think of one situation that I was in today. Not, I wasn't in the situation today. I was thinking about it today. I received a call from Jess back when we were dating, and she called me up and said that these three guys were harassing her at work. These three guys were driving by and saying things to her throughout the day, and they were making her nervous. And then it was time for her to go home, and she called me back again and said, honey, they didn't leave, and they're sitting in the parking lot, and people are leaving, and there's nobody really around, and I have to walk to my car, and these three guys are sitting in a car out there staring at me. Now, at that point in time, I drove to the store, and the only person I had with me was Jessica's 12-year-old little brother. So I brought him because he was a little crazy, and he could have helped me anyway. Right? But I drove to that store in my truck, and the whole way I prepared myself for the battle. I prepared myself for the fight. So I get there, and I pull up behind them, and they're parked in, right in front of the store, and I pull up on the curb, and I yell out the window, and I say a few not nice words to them, and I ask them what in the world and the beep beep they're doing, and these guys respond back with a few more beeps, and they start yelling at me. So then my fury arises within me, and I drive the truck off the curb, and I park, and I get out, and I strip down to my T-shirt. I didn't take my pants off. I strip down to my T-shirt, right? Now, I could have taken the pants off because nobody wants to fight a naked guy, right? But that's not what I did. I stripped down to my T-shirt because I was angry. And I reached behind my seat and I grabbed my ball bat and I looked at Aaron and I said, "Are you ready?" And he goes, "Man, I don't know." And I'm like, "He's the crazy one and he doesn't know if he's ready." I said, "But that's my woman and I'm going to protect her." And I got out of that car. I started walking with purpose with that ball bat in my hand towards their car. And I got about halfway across, and I could see them, like, talking quickly to each other. Like, "What do you want to do?" "Oh, man, I don't know. This guy looks nuts," you know. They're talking quickly to each other. And as I got halfway across, thank God they drove away. Right? Because unlike Pastor Ronnie, if I would have made it to the car, I'm not sure what I would have done. Right? I probably would have swung on something and ended up in jail or something. I don't know, man. But thank God they drove away, right? But this was a situation that I was in that I was prepared for because I got a call. I got a heads up. I got a warning. And then I had a 15-minute drive to think it through what I was going to do when I got there. And then I had a ball bat behind the seat in my hand, right? I was young and I had a Louisville Slugger. These days I'm a little older. I just carry a Ruger, right? Yeah. I don't want to swing anymore, man. I just, boom, okay. You know, it's much easier. But I was prepared. I knew what I was going to be facing. I knew how many there were. I had a weapon. And I knew what was going to happen. And I stepped into that situation with foreknowledge. So it didn't catch me off guard. But I wonder how many of us have been caught off guard by life. And you didn't have time to prepare. You didn't have time to figure out what to do. You didn't even have anything in your hands to fight with. Your hands were empty, right? I wonder how many people in here tonight are in that situation right now. That you're in the middle of a storm, you're in the middle of a fight, and your hands are empty. You got nothing to fight with, and it's caught you off guard, and you don't know what to do. Verse 6 says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Can I say today that God is no respecter of persons? And if you don't know what to do, and you're caught in a storm, and you have nothing to fight with, just cry out for the Spirit of God to come mightily upon you. Cry out for the strength of God. Cry out for God to step into your situation, into your circumstances. Cry out for God to bring the healing that you need. Cry out for God to bring the deliverance that you need. Cry out for God to set you free. The Lord is mighty in warfare. Whatever you're facing today, all you need is the Spirit of God. In conclusion, in verse 8, it said, "And after some time, he returned to get her," and that was his first wife before she died. He returned to get her. And when he did, he turned aside to go visit the carcass of the lion. See, this is why I believe that Samson wasn't naturally strong. Because if I had killed a lion and ripped it apart with bare hands, man, I'd go see that thing two or three times. I'd go stand in front of it and go, "Man, I can't believe I did that. That's crazy. I can't believe it." And I believe that's what Samson was doing. He turned aside to go see the carcass of the lion. He stood in front of it and said, "I ripped this thing apart, and I didn't even have a weapon. I ripped this thing apart. I made it through this battle, and I wasn't even prepared for it. This thing snuck up on me, and I'm still standing." This thing came after me to take me out, to kill me, to ruin me, to ruin my marriage, to ruin my finances, to ruin my kids, to ruin my household. This thing came upon me to take me out, to kill me. But I'm still standing. I know it's not my strength. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for fighting on my behalf. Thank you for giving me the strength to take this lion out. And then something peculiar happened. When he got to the carcass of the lion, he found that bees had built a nest in there, and there was honeycombs in the carcass of the lion, and there was fresh, sweet honey. And Samson, being Samson, said, "Well, I'm going to get me some honey." And he reached in and he scooped up the honey, and he continued on his journey and had a sweet treat as a reward for his battle. Can I tell you today that if you're in a battle, God has a sweet reward for you on the other side? Can I tell you that if God has led you into a situation that you don't think you can make it through, but you cry out on him on his behalf and he fights for you, and you make it out the other side, he's got a sweet, sweet reward for you? Can I tell you that if you're fighting for a marriage today that you don't believe has an iota chance of making it, but you decide to fight for it anyway? Can I tell you that when you come out the other side, you're going to have a sweet, sweet reward waiting? Can I tell you that if you're battling an addiction or you're battling a secret sin, and this thing has snuck up on you and grabbed a hold of you, and you don't know how you're going to turn it loose, you don't know how you're going to stop, but you cry out to God and he fights on your behalf and you walk out the other side, not only do you have to depend on your own strength, but you can depend on his strength, and then he's got a sweet, sweet reward for you. Samson stood up at that wedding and he gave a riddle to his wife's brothers. He said, if anybody could solve his riddle, then he would give them 30 changes of clothing, which was, you know, a big deal. And Samson said, out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. Can I say today that that's more than a riddle? Can I say as one of your pastors today that that's a blessing over your life? Can I say that we can pray that over you for 2018? Lord, allow in our lives that out of the eater, give us something to eat. And Lord, in our lives, out of the strong things that come against us, bring us to something sweet. Lord, out of our enemies in 2018, bless us with sustaining food. Bless us with sustaining favor. Have our enemies serve us, Lord. Have our enemies show up and serve us. Father, in the battles that everybody's facing today, I pray, Father, that you would give them the strength to rip the enemy apart from limb to limb, to step through the gate, to come out the other side, and to walk into the sweetness that you have for them. John 10:10 says that God just went blank. I'm going to read it. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy, but Jesus has come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Can I tell you today that even if it's God's will for you to walk through this situation that you're in, it's not God's will for you to stay there. That God wants to use this situation to bring you out the other side into a sweet, sweet walk with him, into a sweet existence. Stand with me tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're in here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Before we move any further, I want to give you the opportunity to come to know him. So if you're in here tonight and you don't know Jesus, this is all I want to ask you to do, but you want to know him tonight, is lift a hand, put it right back down, and then we're going to pray with you as a group. We're not going to single you out. We're not going to ask you to come up front. We're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to ask you to invite you into a walk with Christ, into a kingdom, into a life like you never imagined. And if that's you in this place tonight, I'd just like you to raise a hand and you can put it right back down. Is there anybody that needs to accept Christ? I see that hand. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Thank you, ma'am. One more time. As a group, everybody repeat this prayer with those two who have raised their hands to receive Christ tonight. Lord Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.